scripture that I've been really meditating on this week, and I think it can take us to the next step in worship. Just follow with me here. This is John chapter 1. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen His glory as the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Somebody say grace. Somebody say truth. Okay, got it. Okay, you got those two things, grace and truth. What the scripture says, that everywhere Jesus went, grace and truth went with Him. So grace is God's unmerited, unearned favor toward all of us. Truth is, man, we messed up bad, right? Truth means that we should have judgment, but grace is Jesus took the judgment upon Himself so that we could be in front of Him. So everywhere Jesus went, grace and truth went with Him. I want you to know, you're in a place of grace and truth. You can come to Jesus right as you are. See, truth, when I have truth with my wife, it means that we have good intimacy together. I can tell her the truth. I can tell her every corner of my heart. Do you know that you can do that with God? You know that you can tell Him the absolute truth, and His grace is still the same, that He loves you. You know that that's true? Anybody with me on that? Nobody? Somebody is, right? So you're in a place of grace and truth right now. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. I want you to know that there's freedom to worship God here, man. There's freedom to worship God, but there's grace and truth here available. So let's all pray. Can I ask you just to close your eyes, like lift up your hands to God, and just begin to lift out your heart, to lift up your heart to Him. God, thank You so much that You're here. God, I thank You that we could come and just understand You more. You're full of grace. And God, every time we've messed up, God, I thank You that You haven't changed Your mind about us. We can't earn Your favor back. You gave it to us before we were ever even born. So God, thank You that Your grace is here. So God, we decide to open up our hearts to You and let Your truth come into our life tonight as we worship You. Come on, guys, keep those hands lifted high. Let's sing out with everything that we have tonight. Let's keep on going. Come on, sing "You Are Good." Let's lift this up.
You are good. You are good. There's nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace.
His power in His name, Jesus.
this out. My heart will sing, man. Let's lift this up from the bottom of our hearts tonight. Come on. Let's lift this up to Him. Come on. Let's sing My Heart With No Other Name. Come on.
My heart will sing no other name.
Come on, sing it out right where you are. Come on.
Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing.
Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Come on. The one who died, the one who rose again. Come on, to set you free. Come on, you got family problems. Man, Jesus takes care of everything. He knows every detail of our heart. Come on, let's lift Him up. God, we love You and You alone. Come on, Jesus. Jesus, come on, let's lift Him up with everything we have. Come on, my heart will sing. Come on.
My heart will sing.
I pray for every student here, every teenager here under the sound of my voice may have come with so many crazy things going on in their life, but God, I thank You that the name of Jesus is above every name. I thank You so much that they've been called names, but You are above those names. They've been called liar and stupid and ugly, but God, Your name is above every name, and You've given them a new name. You call them accepted. You call them beautiful. You call them loved. God, I pray for students who might be going through a really difficult time in life. God, You encourage them. You breathe hope into their life. God, I thank You that tonight, as we get into Your Word, God, Your vision just burns on the inside of us for what we have, what You have for our individual lives, and what You have for this ministry. God, guys, let's just all, I just feel this in my heart. Let's just close our eyes. Let's pray for Thrive right where you are. Let's pray for this ministry, that it goes further this year than it's ever gone. Let's just pray where we are. God, we pray that more people can be reached. God, we pray against every suicide attempt in Seneca Valley and the surrounding schools. God, we thank You that our teenagers raise up and they're bold in their schools and they have a voice like they've never had before in their schools. God, I thank You for Bible studies that will start from this generation in this room right now. God, I thank You that You're raising up leaders and world changers all over the place. God, to bring those who feel far from You to be in a close relationship with You. God, we lift up this ministry, and we thank You so much that we have an opportunity to worship You, to get to know You every single Saturday in a relaxed setting. We can relate with our friends. We can hear the Word of God in our daily life. And God, I pray that 2014 is going to be the best year that we've ever had. And God, I thank You so much for these teenagers tonight. As we lift You up one last time, I thank You. Thank You, thank You, that the vision, the purpose that You have, You've called them all by name. You've called them in with a distinct purpose. I thank You so much that You breathe purpose in their life, that they see the vision. They start to get a little bit of a glimpse of the hope and the purpose that You have for their lives. God, we lift You up. We love You. We honor You. And we pray that in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Why don't you shake like three people's hands, punch them a little bit, tell them to get out of the turkey coma. And head back to your seat. Thanks, guys. Everybody, good to see you. Who has a turkey hangover right now? Anybody? No? Anybody in turkey coma still as we speak? It's okay, because we have more food back there for you at the end of service. You're going to eat more. Who said, okay, how many of you ate seconds? Anybody, go ahead. Give me a shout if you ate seconds. Give me a shout if you ate thirds. Anybody? Give me a shout if you ate fourths. A lot of girls in there. That is fantastic. I'm praying my daughter is just like you. Give me a shout if you ate fifths. Let's get it. Sixths? Five is too far for Ariana. She's like, no. No way. Who ate sixths? Sevenths? Anybody eat sevenths in here? Wow. Six and a halfs. Way to go. Wow. Congratulations. Now, tryptophan has the opposite effect on my man here. If you've ever been around him when he eats turkey, he just goes a little bit more crazy. I don't understand that. I think it's awesome. So congratulations. You are the winner. Give him a hand. Come on. He had it close to sevenths. That's it. Let's open up our Bibles. I have one scripture for you here as we get into this tonight. This is out of Habakkuk. You know how to find the book of Habakkuk? Neither do I. I just found the scripture. It's okay. I don't know much of anything. This is Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, "Then the Lord said to me, write." Somebody say write. Anybody journal in here? Any journalers? Any writers? Fellows are like, journal? What are you talking about? Journal? I don't know about this. "Write my answer in large, clear letters on a tablet so that a runner can read it and tell everyone else. But these things I plan won't happen right away." So remember this. Just, you know, the whole basis of this message is based off of this. "But these things I plan won't happen right away." This is a vision that God has for your life. "Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision," somebody say vision,
"vision
will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, wait for it patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed." Many of you don't know, but when I was in college and graduating college, I ran a little landscaping operation. Any landscapers in the house tonight? No? Okay. Well, if you want to make a quick couple bucks, and have a flexible schedule, then you get into cutting grass on your own. And that was it, because I played football through college. I had to work out a lot for that to stay fit, to stay in shape. I didn't want to work out after I landscaped all day, so I worked out first, and then I would landscape. So I worked for a couple different companies, and the term Christian landscaper is a term that's kind of an oxymoron, okay? So what I tried to do is, like, I'm gonna change the whole landscaping industry. I'm gonna bring Christians in. So I started to recruit some thrivers. Now, this was a long time ago. They were revolutionaries, I guess you would call them, revolutionaries, yeah. So I would recruit some teenagers to come with me, especially when I had big jobs and I didn't feel like wheelbarrowing things up a hill 40 yards, okay? I found that teenagers are perfect for that. If you just pay them $10 an hour, pay them, you know, a fair salary, they'll run wheelbarrows up a hill all day and back. You know, move that mulch bed, that whole mulch bed, take it a quarter mile up this driveway. This is not an exaggeration. That's what I did. So I was actually processing getting into ministry, and I was running a landscaping operation. I was basically some people's yard boy, landscape architect. I would do whatever they wanted me to do. So built retaining walls, mulched beds, created beds, mulch beds, mowed grass, did leaf removal, the whole nine yards. It was pretty sweet job, I thought, because I got to be by myself all day. Any loners in here? Just like to be by yourself? And that's me. I was just me, my headphones. Now, I had like this first generation iPod. It was like this big, and there was only a wheel, and it lit up in the back. It was like the coolest thing in the world. Anybody have a first generation iPod still? You lost yours? Okay. Well, this was 2002. Like, literally, the iPod came out about 2 years earlier. And I don't know, the thing was huge. It was huge. It was silver and white and all scratched up. And I would just take that iPod with me everywhere. And I would put the word of God in my heart at that time. Now, there are three things that I learned, okay, from landscaping with teenagers. Number one, never take directions from a teenager, okay? And I'm not referring to Lisa DeFalco. I am saying never take directions from a teenager. One job that I had was out in the middle of nowhere. And I actually said, it was out in Springdale, okay? I don't know if you know Springdale, but I had this big business, needed all this landscape work done to it. So I was like, man, this is a little bit out of my league. I need to at least get some help. So I got this friend of mine named Scott Dozier. He's a really good friend of mine. Love Scotty. Now, Scotty was, how I would say, he was directionally challenged. He was only 16 years old at the time. He's like, oh, I know exactly where this is. I've been there like 5-6 times. Just get on the turnpike. So we get on the turnpike. It's like, you're going to get off of this exit over here. And I'm like, okay, great. Sounds good. Get off the exit, pay the toll, drive 5 miles down the road. He's like, Zach, I don't think this is it. I'm like, Scott, we're 5 miles away from the turnpike, from the exit. Where do we have to go? He's like, you have to get back on the turnpike. It's one more exit. And I'm like, oh, okay. So took us a half hour out of our way, something like that. So we turn around, paid another toll, got off the exit about a couple miles down the road. And we're going down the road, and he's like, Zach, I don't think this is it either. I'm like, Scott, have you ever been here before? He's like, no. Like, what? You told me. Like, come on. So the first thing I've realized is, number one, never take directions from a teenager. Number two, I learned from landscaping back in the day with teenagers that when you leave, when you exit, you make sure to give extremely simple and clearly defined charts of directions, whatever you need in order for them to fulfill every necessary step. I learned this also when I asked Lachelle to move a lamp from one end of the room to another. That was interesting, Lachelle's reaction to that. She said, okay, and she picked up a table. I was like, wait a second. I learned this interestingly with our summer internship. If you feel called to ministry, express that to me, and I will invite you to our summer internship this summer. We had about 15 interns if you don't leave them very detailed instructions, they go bowling for boxes. They literally got a cart and ran it down the hallway as hard as they could. They built a wall of boxes. It went from the floor to the ceiling and ran into it. And you know how I found out about this and when? I found out about it like 6 months later on Instagram, okay? Like, what in the world were they doing? I didn't leave them detailed instructions. But the other thing I noticed with teenagers is that if I ever need somebody to dig a ditch, like, I'm going to get a teenager to do it because, I mean, okay, sounds good. I'll dig a ditch, you know. You pay me money, I'm going to dig a ditch, you know. If you ask a 20-something, dig a ditch, they want to know, why? Why do you need a ditch dog? Why? I mean, like, I need a ditch dug. That's when I was landscaping. I need you to dig a ditch. Like, come on, I don't need to talk about why we need a ditch dug. I need you just to dig a ditch. And teenagers, how many of you, for $10 an hour, you would dig a ditch anywhere, right? Okay, see what I'm talking about? Dig a ditch. And so what I want to talk to you tonight about, the best piece of advice I can give anybody, and I'm not going to smack anybody over the head, though I've thought about it several times since I've had this. I've had this for 5 days, thank you. I've been carrying it around with me everywhere. Guys, it's Thanksgiving break, okay? I mean, I got to keep this message fresh on my mind, so I got to carry this around with me. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight is digging a deep well. Digging a deep well. When I was in college, man, I'm so glad I dug a deep well. And this is probably the best piece of advice that I can give anybody your age, right? I'm way out of, how many of you look at me and you're like, dude, you're just flat out old. Anybody? Just a couple people. Now, what if I told you I'm 30 years old in June? Anybody say, dude, you're old. Anybody? Okay, hands are going up a little bit more. I'm really glad that you're either afraid of me. That's totally cool. I don't mind you being afraid of calling me old or you don't think I am. It's just kind of good for my ego. It's nice, but listen, man, one of the best pieces of advice that I can give you is dig a deep well. Come on, say it with me. Dig a deep well. Come on. Dig a deep well. Dig a deep well in your life. It's time to dig a deep well. If you know anything about digging wells or anything, my parents have a septic system and a well, well water. They had to dig down real deep to get to good water. Now, there was this guy named Leroy who dug their well. Okay, Leroy was one of the most interesting individuals I've ever come across in my life. Every other word was one that I could never say in this setting. And I couldn't say it in any other setting, to be honest with you, because I'm the same here than I am anywhere else. So Leroy was interesting to talk to. I would put, like, the earmuffs on my son whenever I was around Leroy. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Noah, cover your ears. Just put your fingers in your ears as hard as you can. He's like, Daddy, it hurts. It hurts. No, just do it. Just do it. Okay. So it saves him from this. Now, Leroy was one of the most interesting individuals. Leroy had this gift. And I'm not exaggerating. This is one of the most amazing gifts that I've ever seen in my entire life. Leroy was able to tell where to dig a well simply by grabbing a stick, a Y stick, and walking along the grass, just like this. And where the well was, his arms would go down like this. And he'd say, we're going to dig one here. And he would mark the yard. And he said, and he would go this way. And he said, I think there's water here, because his hands would go down. I'm like, wait a second. Is this some kind of voodoo? Like, what are you doing, dude? Who heard of voodoo for well water? Like, this is so weird. And he's like, no, actually, he said, there's a whole science behind this. I don't quite understand it. My dad, for years, was able to do this. I couldn't do it. When he died, I had a 50-pound wrench fall on my head. I was out for about 10 minutes. I went to the hospital, and then I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said, you know what I want to do? I want to try the stick trick. I'm hoping that I can find it. So he went out the next day and started looking for wells, and it worked. And he's like, if I didn't have that 50-pound wrench on my head, it probably wouldn't happen. I don't know. I'm like, this is the weirdest story I've ever heard in my life. Who are you? Are you from Star Trek? Are you from another planet? Like, this is weird. This is bizarre. But he would do that, and he would just walk, and he'd say, hey, okay, so he made an X and then dug that well way down deep. And what I learned about the well was that when you dig a well, if you only dig it on the surface, there's a lot of contaminants that can come into it. A raccoon could crawl in that well and die, or that water could be contaminated from geese poop in the yard or something gross like that. But if you dig it way down deep, the earth actually filters it, and it becomes very pure water. So the deeper you go, the more water you're going to be able to get out, and the more pure it's going to be. And that is what the Word of God is to all of us. So we want to dig deep wells in our life because we don't want to ever see our well run dry. How many of you are with me on that one? You don't want your well to run dry. Now, what happens a lot of times is we say, man, you know what? I'm thirsty. It's time to dig a well. No, the time that you're thirsty is not the time to dig a well. The time to dig a well is before you need to take a bath. The time that you need to dig a well is the time before that you're going to need anything to drink, right? You're going to be drinking some bottled water or whatever. You need to make sure that you have that well dug before you move into that house. And a lot of times what happens with teenagers is that there's not a lot of wells being dug in our life. We kind of dig a well here and dig a well there, and we're like, okay, well, I went to school and I'm taking calculus, but we don't really have everything kind of add up, if that makes sense. Like why in the world would I ever want to take calculus? Seriously. Why would I ever want to take calculus? Because, you know, we're talking about vision and we're talking about process. And sometimes you have to do stuff that you just don't like because you just don't have the vision in front of you yet for the rest of your life. You don't know what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. So God calls you to take calculus. And you're like, this is calculus. Anybody taking calculus in here? I'm praying for you. I don't understand it. I never will. And thank God, I never took it. Actually, flunked out of Algebra 2 whenever I was in high school. My teacher, guys, I did not get good grades at all, but my teacher used to give me test answers. He would hit me twice if it was a multiple choice for B because he felt so bad for me. That I probably shouldn't say that because he might get fired for that, but you know, don't tell anybody. But I was horrible at this. But a lot of times when we don't understand the process, that there's two things here in life for what God calls you to. There's vision. How many of you want a good vision for your life, right? You want to know, man, I want to marry somebody great someday. I want to fulfill God's plan for my life. I want to go to the right college. I want to have a family that doesn't end up in divorce. That's a really good vision, by the way, because I think it's 50% of Christians end up in a divorce whenever they get married. That's a pretty crazy statistic right there. To have a vision to say, you know what? Not going to replicate this, or to have a vision in your life that I'm not going to replicate the abuse that was in my family, or I'm not going to replicate the drug use or the alcoholism that was in my family. I'm not going to replicate the stupid decisions that my older brother or older sister made. Those are great visions, okay? You might want to word them in a positive manner, but those are fantastic. That's a fantastic vision for your life. What ends up happening a lot of times is that we kind of sit and wait. And so there's vision and there's process. Somebody say process. This is interesting, right? So vision is, I want a six-pack. I want some abs. Now, I got to stop because this just popped into my head. Lauren tells me, don't say this stuff. But I'm going to because she's not here, okay? Listen, I'm going to give you 10 seconds to change your profile picture if you're standing in front of mirror dudes like this, showing your abs. Seriously? You are 110 pounds with 1% body fat. Of course you're going to have abs. Of course. I can see your ribs. You look like a girl. Sorry. Come on, man. Just listen, if that's you and you're standing in front, this is your profile picture. I'm going to give you 10 seconds just to take it off, okay? Do yourself a favor and just take it off. I can see your ribs, man. I mean, seriously, that's not macho. 110 pounds, 1%. Sorry, I get a little bit off track. But vision is, I want to have a six-pack. Process is, I'm going to change what I think about food. I'm going to start to work out. The only crunch that I'm going to do some crunches that don't particularly incorporate Cap'n Crunch, you know. I'm going to work out. I'm going to change. That's a process. So you could sit all your life and say, oh man, I want a six pack. I want a six pack. That's a vision. I want a six pack. But you're not going to get a six pack without having some process in your life. You're not going to have a six pack without actually stepping it. I've actually listened to some of you say, man, I want to impact my school. I want to do something great. Well, could it just be that you need to dig a deep well? Could it just be that you just really, the process right now for your life is to dig as deep as you possibly can? A lot of us in here listen to podcasts. Not everybody does. I would encourage every person to start downloading podcasts. I'll post on Twitter this week some of the podcasts that I listen to, okay? Off the top of my head, you can download Joel Osteen online, pretty good. You can download Stephen Furtick, pretty good. You can download Pastor John, pretty good. You can download Judah Smith, a guy named Judah Smith I listen to. Those guys are phenomenal. You can listen to it and actually dig a deep well. Come on, say, dig a deep well. Man, we need to dig deep wells in our life, you know? We need to dig very, very deep. We need to put the Word of God into practice in our life. The only way that we're going to make the vision come to pass in our life is if we just kind of wait and let God do some things, but if we start to dig a deep well. You've got to put the Word of God in your heart, or that vision is never going to come to pass. You've got to put the Word of God in your heart, or that great marriage is never going to come to pass. You've got to put the Word of God into your heart, or you're never going to have the discipline enough to get into that school you want to believe God for. Listen, there is a God side, and there's a man side. God is not going to do my job, okay? Not going to do my job. I can't do God's job. There are three things about destiny that I want you to get tonight, okay? Number one, and these things are completely unchangeable. Number one about your destiny is that God and God alone designs your destiny. God and God alone designs your destiny. You can't change that. Ephesians talks about being predestined. What does predestined mean? It means destined before. Before what? Before you were born. God predestined you, or he destined you for greatness. He destined you for something. The Apostle Paul, how many of you know who the Apostle Paul is? Pretty sweet dude, right? Well, do you think that he made the call of God happen about his life? No, he actually says that God, in Galatians 1:15, but when God who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace. So when was the Apostle Paul set apart? Before birth, right? God actually destined Paul to do all of these things. And you're like, man, that's the Apostle Paul. Well, look at Jeremiah. This is what Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So when does God design your destiny? Before you were ever born. Now, that's pretty crazy, right? But I think that's pretty amazing that the very God who owns the heavens created a destiny for you. He designed steps that you should walk in before you were ever even born. So he says to the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to many nations. Your destiny is set by God. What you're called to do in life is determined and designed by God. Big question I get a lot of times from teenagers is, can I miss it? If you're a teenager, I mean, you can make some bad decisions, but God can get you right back on track. You know that? So the second thing that I want you to know, this isn't in sequential order, so it's not step one, step two, step three, because two and three can be interchangeable. The second one here is that you discover your destiny. God's not going to just hand you your destiny, you know that? You're not just going to wait around and then God gives you the keys to something great. Say, go for it. You discover it. How do you discover it? You discover it by digging a deep well. And I love that every person used by God is somebody who dug a deep well in their life. We think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one of the smartest men that was in the Bible. He actually had pretty much the entire Old Testament memorized. Okay, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, people would look at him. He would teach them the law. He dug deep wells from the time he was very young. As a matter of fact, he got into school and followed one of the greatest teachers in Jewish history. He followed one of him from a very, very young age. So he dug deep wells. Now, a lot of us don't have those advantages in life, but the law is still in place to dig a deep well in your life. So the Apostle Paul, we're going to find out about this in just a second. The Apostle Paul says, you know what? I know that God's calling me to do something, so I'm going to dig a deep well. Moses dug a deep well. He had a great education. Moses had a great education. He was raised as a Pharisee. He was raised as Pharaoh's as a part of Pharaoh's family. So he actually had access to great education. He was digging deep wells in his life. And it was interesting that the people who dug deep wells, and the Bible doesn't really record the wells that they've dug very, very significantly, but it does record that they have dug deep wells. Now, God uses people who were faithful in school. Now, think about this. You're going to class on Monday, and here's where, like, the rubber hits the road. You're like, why in the world do I have to take class? Why do I have to take calculus? Why do I have to be in physics? Why do I have to take bio 2? Why do I have to, I don't understand this stuff. I don't want any part with this stuff. Listen, these are not menial tasks. This is what God has called you to right now. Your calling is right now. It's not something in the future. It's something right now. And you've got to discover it. The reason that you have to take all of these things in your teenage years is because you've got to actually discover the things that excite you in life. So the Apostle Paul discovered his destiny whenever he was first converted to Christianity. You'll see him, if you read the book of Acts, he went in and he taught in all the synagogues. That was the first thing he did, taught in all the synagogues. And you know what happened to him? People like come to the Lord and say, oh my goodness, this is great. No, they actually beat him and threw him out. They stoned him to death and left him, and God raised him to life. The Apostle Paul went through some crazy stuff, but he went into the synagogues. And it makes sense because the Apostle Paul, he knew everything about the Jewish religion. He knew everything about it. But God didn't call him to that. So he went there and he actually made some decisions that you'll just see in just a second. Made some decisions, and then God reveals to him, dude, you're not called to Jews. You're called to plant churches where there aren't churches. You're called to go and spread the gospel to places you've never even been. Man, that's pretty sweet, isn't it? How many of you would like to go someday on a mission trip overseas? You'd say, man, I would love to be able to share the gospel in Haiti. I'd love to be able to share the gospel in Asia. I would love to go. I mean, if you want to do that, then you need to dig a well now. You need to have something to draw from whenever God takes you to those places, because the call of God just doesn't happen arbitrarily. It just doesn't pop on you and say, oh, I'm called to be a missionary now, or I'm called to go on a mission trip. The call of God happens even before you were born, but you've got to dig a deep well and discover those things that God has for you. So number one, God designs your destiny. Number two, you discover it. But number three, the processes that you submit yourself to in life will actually sharpen that destiny. It'll actually help you to get better and to get better. And I have a couple scriptures just real quick for you here. Process develops your destiny. Galatians 2 and verse 1. Apostle Paul, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. Apostle Paul, 14 years later, this is what he's talking about. I gave my heart to the Lord, and God revealed his son to me. And now, this is something that's going to be, just backing up here, it's going to be something that might get you guys, but I want you to think about this. In verse 15, in 1 verse 15, it says, but when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. God isn't going to reveal to you your destiny per se. He's going to reveal his son. And if you haven't had an impact with Jesus yet, you want to find your destiny. You're not going to find your destiny apart from living a life with Jesus. So he said, he revealed his son to me for what purpose? That I might preach him among the Gentiles. That was his ultimate calling. That's exactly what he did. Every time you read the Gospels, or the New Testament, the epistles primarily, every time you read those, that's the gift that was on the Apostle Paul's life. Pretty sweet. So the third one is the process develops your destiny. And in chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas, and I took Titus along also. So Paul gave himself to a process of growth. He dug deep wells for 14 to 17 years. That's pretty crazy, right? How many of you are below the age of 14 in here right now? Anybody? Okay. So longer than you've been born, the Apostle Paul said, I'm just gonna dig a deep well in my life. So this is what the Apostle Paul does. He gets knocked off the horse on the road to Damascus. Like, what in the world was that? He looks up and there's this bright light shining. And he's like, who are you, Lord? And it was Jesus that revealed himself to him. And he said, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. And he's like, I'm not persecuting Jesus. I'm just persecuting the church. But every time you persecute the church, you're persecuting Jesus. So Jesus, he's blinded by this light. And he goes back into the town and God reveals himself to a man named Ananias, and he says, go and pray for Paul that he might receive his sight and I might show him the things that I've called him to do. And so the Apostle Paul has this amazing experience, and the first thing he does is he goes into the synagogues and starts sharing everybody. He gets kicked out of the synagogue. He's like, I'm getting something wrong here. So he goes to a place called Arabia. What's in Arabia? Anybody know? Aladdin, very good. Yep, Aladdin was there. So he hangs out with Aladdin for like 3 years, okay? Now, Arabia is a desert. What's in a desert? Nothing. I mean, seriously. That's it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Mirages, yeah, that's great. It's great. It's awesome. Nothing. So, nothing. Somebody say nothing. What was he doing? He was digging a deep well. Not a literal well. He was putting the word of God in his heart. At that time, when he went to Arabia, man, God was revealing things to his life and revealing things to his heart. He dug a deep well. And so, guys, if you're called here to thrive, which, you know, if you're in this room, I believe that you are, there's a well that I'm going to ask you to dig. Every one of you, I'm going to ask you to dig. Okay? There are four things that I want you to do. And in 2014, this is really what I'm believing God to do in all of us. We're going to make some switches in the positive for 2014. We have to keep on moving forward. But if you're called to this ministry, if you sit here week in and week out, God is asking you to dig a deep well and to go even further than you've ever gone before. So the first thing, to dig a deep well, to discover your destiny, and then to also to sharpen that destiny, to make sure that you're hitting it. The first thing that we do, and we want to make sure to communicate, is come to Thrive every Saturday, okay? Get to Thrive every Saturday and bring people with you. And here's my vision for this, okay? I know that you're not going to be here every week, but I want to get the Word of God into your heart. I want to help you any way that I can to process the things that you go through on a day-to-day basis. God's culture is absolutely crazy. And the idea of grace and truth that I've introduced, I'm going to teach on that in just a couple weeks. But what God is really putting in my heart is that I need to teach you guys the truth. And what I realize is that I can't teach you the truth. I can't teach you what the Word of God says about your life if you're not here. So it's really important that you get here every week. Now, Saturday, every Saturday is going to be a great chance to bring somebody. Listen, I know that there are times that are better to bring somebody than others. And there are going to be times that we introduce called one nights. So I don't know if you've heard about these or, you know, we did one of these so far. Man, we hit the ball out of the park on the one night that we did with David Falk. He's going to be back here again soon and in the rotation. But listen, we're going to one night. Instead of talking about bringing every friend that you have, we're just going to ask you to bring one friend, okay? Don't just bring a busload of people because, to be honest with you, not all of us have that many friends, okay? It's like, yeah, I got one friend I can bring. Fantastic. So we're going to say, man, bring one friend. This is a one night, bring one friend, okay? So we're going to do that periodically. Not every month, maybe every other month. We're just going to have a wild card night where we say, man, this is a one night, we're going to have a blast. That's one thing that I want to make sure that you guys understand, moving into 2014, that every service that you come is a good chance to bring somebody. It's a good opportunity to bring somebody. I went to churches whenever I was your age and going, I would be like so embarrassed if I took somebody to church. Guys, I don't want that to ever happen here. So we're going to do our very best to make sure that it doesn't happen, that worship is always on, is always on, that lights are always, we have to make sure that we're running on things, on all cylinders, because I never want somebody to be embarrassed to bring somebody here. That's a really big deal to me. So I promise you this, I'm never going to invite a missionary who speaks in another language to talk to you guys. You're like, what in the world? He talks for like 45, 50 minutes. Not going to happen. Man, it's going to be people who are going to be on top of their game. Okay, so next year, David Falk is going to be here every other month. Doug Smith is going to be here every other month. Alyssa Preston, who came here 2 weeks ago, is going to be here every other month. Lauren is going to be here every other month. So we're going to have a lot more of a rotation happening. You guys okay with this? Okay, I want to make sure that you know the vision of why we do this. Lauren is a teacher. You guys need to get the Word of God in your heart. And girls, I'm telling you, you hear guys talk all the time. It's like, you know, you need to hear the Word of God from a girl's perspective. And fellas, guess what? You hear guys all the time too. You need to hear the Word of God from a girl's perspective as well, okay? And those are for different reasons. But fellas, I'm telling you, you need it. You need to understand what a woman following God processes and how she thinks, so you can believe God for a great godly woman in your life too, okay? It's not always about the girls not choosing garbage. Guys, you can't choose garbage either. So I'm going to put my wife up here and make sure she's talking so you can actually see what a woman on fire for God can really do for a family. That's really important. Some of you don't have that in your life, and I want to show you that. And Alyssa Preston is a teacher as well. Man, one of the best teachers that I've been around, one of the best communicators I've been around, pure communicator, unbelievable. She's going to be here. Doug is a teacher, okay? You know Doug, you're going to be taking notes. Some of you are process people all over the place. I want to take a million notes. Doug is your man, okay? David is an evangelist. He's going to be here every other month as well. It's really important that you get exposed to all the gifts that people have. So number one is come to Thrive every Saturday. Make an effort to come. And man, don't come alone. Bring somebody with you. And now Thrive is the only place on the planet that people will be like, well, you know, nobody talked to me. I don't want to go. I'm going to ask you if you've ever had that. I get it. But do you ever go to Chick-fil-A and say, nobody talked to me at Chick-fil-A. I'm never going there. This is the difficulty that we have. Thrive needs to be the most welcoming place in Cranberry Township for teenagers. Listen, we're not going to say hi to everybody. We're not going to catch everybody, especially on a night like this when we're low on leaders. Guess what? We're not going to be perfect, but we can be the most welcoming place in Cranberry Township for teenagers, and that is going to happen. So we're going to continue to grow in some areas to make sure that that's happening. So number one, get to Thrive every Saturday. Number two, I want everybody plugged into a small group. Can I tell you how much I want you plugged into a small group? Like seriously, when we cut Wednesday night services, it like something in my heart, discipleship wise, died with Wednesday night services. Like we're letting go of this. I have no opportunity to disciple you, to get the word of God in you, and really get you talking about the word of God. So we're making a change in February 1, okay? February 1st. We're going to be launching 15 small groups here from Thrive that you can look for a small group in your area with your friends. You can have a bunch of them. I asked anything from activity groups to spiritual growth to Bible studies in schools. We're going to include those in our small groups as well. So 15 plus small groups are going to be out for February 1st. The second thing I want you to do, number one, come to Thrive every Saturday. Number two, get plugged into a small group. Man, you need to be sharpened. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. You need to get into a small group. Why? Because you need to talk about the Word of God. You need to process it. You need to talk about how to apply the Word of God as a seventh grader in Seneca when you have different teams, or as an eighth grader when you got your team switched, or a ninth grader going into a new place, or a senior ready to graduate high school. Didn't mean to leave you guys sophomores and juniors, but you get over it. You're fine. But as a senior, you need to know how to process the Word of God and take it into your everyday life. That's how we're going to do that in small groups. So get them plugged into a small group. They're going to be active. I did a fishing small group. Any of my small groupers here? Any of my fishermen here? We had a great time. We caught a lot of fish, and we made fun of each other a whole lot. Nobody got thrown into a lake or anything. It was fantastic. We had a really, really good time, okay? But get plugged into a small group. As long as you pray at the beginning and maybe have a nugget, that's what a small group is. I just want to make sure that we have leaders in your life to take care of you and make sure that you're okay. Because as we grow, and there have been times we hit this year, I can't remember what we hit. It was like 300-something. But when we did that, I can't know everybody's name in here, but small group leaders can. If everybody's plugged into a small group, man, we can really disciple people. We can really care. We can really make sure that you're followed up with. Small groups are so important. Number three is go through the growth track. Okay, every Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have something here at the church called the Growth Track. Now, if you're 15 plus, you can go through this Growth Track. If you're junior high, you get an exemption. So you can go through the Growth Track, but I guess it just doesn't count, okay? But you can go through the Growth Track, and junior high, we just get you plugged in here. If you want to serve or anything, man, we'll just get you plugged in, and we'll do this in another way, okay? So everybody in here who's 15 plus, go through the Growth Track. Every Sunday night, you have 101, which is church membership. You have 201, which is discipleship. It's to teach you everything that you need to know about following God on your own. It is so important that you get there. Number three, it's discover your gifts. Discovery. You take an actual gifts assessment. Anybody take gifts assessment with me before? A lot of people have. It's really important that you get to know how God has designed you, how he's made you, and the things that you like. And so we have one class a month and on a Sunday night that you can get plugged into. It's 301, the third Sunday of every month. You get plugged into it. Man, you can discover the gifts that are on your life. And the last one is get busy serving. So 101, 201, 301, 401, and 401 is really the dream team. Guys, we have an initiative here at Thrive that we want to see 120 leaders, dream team members here at Thrive within the next year. So 2014, right now we have 60. How many of you appreciate our team in here? Anybody appreciate them? We want to double that. We want to double that team, okay? So we want to make sure that we got all of our bases covered all the time. We're going to need 120 leaders. And guess what? Somebody, when we were planning, they said, do teenagers count? How many of you think as a teenager you can lead? How many of you think as a teenager you can do something big for God? Anybody agree on that? I want everybody who has your hand raised, I want you to go through 401 just so you can be a part of this team. I want the chance to invest in your life in a greater capacity. I want you to be a team member here, okay? I want that to happen. So 101, 201, 301, and 401. I'm going to go through these steps again. The first step is come to Thrive every Saturday. And when you're here, bring somebody with you. The second step, get plugged into a small group. If you want to lead a small group, I have no aversion to seeing teenagers lead a small group. We're going to have to build some accountability to it. But I want to see you get plugged into a small group. The third step is go through the growth track. And the number four is get busy serving, man. Let's get busy because more is discovered. Your destiny is not just handed to you. It's discovered. It's discovered. So at the end of the night tonight, I have two things that I want you to do, okay, as a result of all this. Kind of crazy. I'm giving you all these steps. Are you still with me? Everybody okay? Okay, so two things. Thanks for being honest, brother. I knew I lost you from like 10 minutes ago. You know, I'm just messing. But listen, I have two things that I want everybody to do. Number one, you ever do a thing called a dream collage? How many of you? I ran a small group and had our group do a dream collage. What I want you to do, and I want everybody to do this, men, fellas, listen to me. This is not like some girly artsy thing, okay? This is just you being real and putting out your dreams on a piece of paper, okay? A dream collage is when you take a picture of what you want to do with your life and where you want to see God, and you put it all on one piece of paper in collage form, just a bunch of different pictures, okay? You can cut them out of magazines if you want. You can go online and find them and just put one piece of paper on a PowerPoint and do it. I want you to put together a dream collage. My dream collage, if I had it right now, would be a youth group that sees no more suicides in their school. My dream collage, if I would do it, is to see teenagers leading other teenagers in getting filled with the Holy Spirit and salvation, and seeing other teenagers leading other teenagers in Bible studies, teenagers going in. Man, that would be in my dream collage right now. My dream collage is that I would put a picture of a grown man with his dad, an arm around his dad, and just a camaraderie. Because you know what, I never really had a relationship with my dad that I wanted, and I want to reverse that for my family. I want to have a relationship with my son that I longed for as a kid. Now, thank God, God restores. My dad and I were very distant. We just didn't have a very good relationship. I don't get to talk about this much, but it's really important that you know this. My dad was just real quiet. My dad's dad left him when he was young, and my dad just kind of shut down and didn't really... forgot about that. My dad said, didn't want anybody to, iPad stayed. I'm glad about that. But he didn't want anybody to into his life. And so he backed out. And what that meant was he backed out with me. And so I made a conscious effort and I talked to my dad and I said, Dad, I need a relationship with you. Now listen, I'm like 25 years old at the time. Okay. It's like 4 years ago. I said, Dad, I need a relationship with you. And he said, yeah. Like, I want to be friends with you. Like, I need you in my life. My dad actually made a change, and he's calling me. We talk all the time. We go out to breakfast together, just me and him, or I'll take the kids. We have a great relationship now. But you know what? I want to be there for my son when my son's this old and this old and this old, and put my arm around him. That would be on my dream collage. My dream collage would be handing off my daughter with a purity ring on. I want to see my daughter wait until marriage. I want to see that happen so bad. That would be a picture that would be on my dream collage. Now, what would be the vision for your life? What's going to be on your dream collage? So the first step I want you to do is, number one, I want you to make a dream collage. And I want you to take a picture of it and tag it to Thrive. What I thought was really cool, okay, you can Instagram it to Thrive, okay? Or if you don't have Instagram, just shoot me an email, okay? You can get my email after the service, please. But take a picture of that. What I thought would be awesome, Lauren and I were talking about this. We thought, man, we want to see all the vision and all the dreams that everybody has that's in this room right now, okay? okay? So we're going to have people who have a dream collage of being a pediatrician and impacting the world with that. We're going to see people who have a dream of being a teacher, and they're up in front. We're going to see people who have a prom dress on their dream collage, or a wedding dress on their dream collage, or a man fishing, you know, like, hey man, I just have a dream to go fishing. I want you to do that. And I want you to know that it's godly to have a vision for your life. It's very godly to have a purpose inside of you that goes beyond you. You aren't meant to just sit there. The will of God isn't just going to fall on your lap. You've got to discover it. And so this is an exercise to do it. Would you guys do that? Would you guys make a dream collage for me this week? Would you take a picture of it? And would you tag Thrive at Victory? Please do that for me. I'll make one myself, and I'll post it online on Tuesday. I'll post it on my Twitter and on my Instagram, so you guys can see my dream collage. And the second one that I have papers back here that I'm going to come out, and we'll bring them up here, is an assessment. I want you to do this, okay? I want you to actually look at your life in 2013 and answer the questions in a journal or on a piece of paper in a notebook, that you can actually look at your life from 2013 and you can say, these are the changes that I want to make in 2014. So some of the questions are, what podcasts did I listen to? If the answer is zero, don't feel condemned. But say, you know what? Next year, I'm going to listen to one podcast. I'm going to listen to two podcasts. I'm going to do something. What books did I read that enhanced my spiritual growth? None? Okay, well, don't feel condemned. Just say, you know what? I'm going to read one book. I'm going to read two books. There was a time where I said, I'm going to read two books a month. I did that. I regret it. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't even remember what books I read. I read them so fast. I said, just relax a little bit. But I have an assessment. I want you just to look at those things, because you know that God has a vision for your life. You know that even though you might look at your life and think, wow, I just, simple. I grew up blue-collar background. My grandfather owned a tractor shop, and I thought success in life was owning a tractor shop. So I thought, I'm going to own a tractor shop. I had no vision beyond what I saw. And do you know that God has a vision beyond what you see right now? So don't get weary when calculus doesn't make sense to you. Why am I taking calculus? Don't get weary when physics doesn't make sense to you. Don't get weary, you know, in eighth grade when you get switched teams from Seneca. Don't get weary. Just keep on going, because God's got a plan for you. He set it apart. God what? God designed your destiny before you were born. It's your job to discover that destiny. And the third one is that you've got to dig a deep well in order to sharpen that destiny, refine that destiny, and keep it going. Okay? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for everyone here at Thrive. I just thank you that we can do those three things tonight, God, that we can discover our destiny. God, we just thank you that you've got a plan for every single person here. You've got a vision and a plan. You said in your word to write that vision down. So God, we just purpose in our heart to make pictures, collages of the things that we see you doing through us and you doing in us. God, we have a vision and a dream. And God, we want to discover that. So I pray that we can discover everything that you have for us in life. And God, I pray that that everyone here will follow those steps of the growth track, of getting plugged into a small group. It is so important for our spiritual growth to dig deep wells in our life so that we can draw out pure water and never see that well run dry. God, thank you so much for the call that's on each person here. Thank you that out of this room, there are going to be small groups that are started in schools, that there are going to be Bible studies that are started in schools. Thank you so much, God, that out of this room, there's going to be hope and encouragement in every classroom in this region. Thank you so much that you're raising up a group of world changers here at Thrive. Thank you so much that we have the opportunity to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I just ask you just to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Just for one second, if there's anybody here, and you'd say, Zach, you know, tonight's the night, I want to enter into a relationship with God. That's a pretty bold thought that you have, but I want to let you know that it's pretty simple. See, every world religion apart from Christianity says you've got to climb this ladder in order to be right with God, and you've got to do this, you've got to do everything right. You know, I taught you earlier that grace and truth came through Jesus. So grace is, the truth is, yeah, you deserve judgment. Yeah, the truth is that you messed up. And that's why we have all the laws that we do in the Old Testament. But grace and truth through Jesus Christ. So there are two things that are pulling equal and opposite forces right now. That yes, you messed up. Yes, you don't deserve God. But God's grace overlooks all of those things so you can be in a right relationship with Him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we confess Him Lord of our life, we'll be saved. So if you want to enter into a relationship with God and you want me to pray with you tonight, I have heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask you in just a second to raise your hand up high where I can see it. and I'll include you in a prayer that's based off of that scripture. God, I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus, I confess you, Lord of my life right now. In that moment, right then, you become a new creature in Christ. The old has gone away, the new has come. So all of those sins, all those past, that mess that you might be in right now, or the mess that you may have created when you were younger, or the things that may have happened to you, you know that those things never go away. You can't change it, but God can forget it, and God can cleanse you and give you a brand new nature. And if you're here tonight and you say, Zach, I want to receive Jesus, tonight's my night. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want me to pray with you, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to be real bold and just raise your hand when I get to three. This is your opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're here tonight and you'd say, Zach, please pray for me. Make this real simple. I'm going to count to three and you be bold. Ready? Here it is. One, two, three. Thanks so much. Thank you. Thanks, man. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it, man. Go ahead. You can put your hand down to my right over here in the front. It's awesome. 5-6 people already. Anybody else say, Zach, please include me in that prayer. I want Jesus in my life. Anybody else? Got one right over here. Thank you. Right over here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Come on, let's just all pray out loud with those who raise their hand. Everybody repeat after me, man. This is the best decision of your life. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, come on, you can do better than that. Say, Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me. He gave his life that I can have hope. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give those guys a hand, man. Congratulations. So fantastic. Come on, Laura. Man, that is the best decision you'll ever make in your life. If you made that decision with us, man, God is in your life. Never doubt it. He's with you. We have some resources for you at the Hub. We have some awesome things food-wise for you guys to grab as you go. Come on, Laura.
Okay.
DeFalco. I called you Laura. That's awesome.
Okay. Hey, guys. Okay. Everybody say, dig a deep well. Woo. Okay, now say it like a gangster. Dig a deep well. What? What? Okay. All right, so I have some announcements for you. Just like every week, there is a prayer room at the back of the room. If you have any prayer requests or you need somebody to pray with you, they are always open. They are always available. And they are in the back of the room right by the basketball hoop. Jack Frost. Who's going to Jack Frost? Woo! That's going to be in December, like the 29th to the January 1st. We're going to have a New Year's party. So everybody say, what? Okay. and tonight we have snack for you. It's chips, Rice Krispies, and drinks. And we are collecting offering in the buckets as you walk out. So have a good night, guys. See you later.
Short falls and little sins. Close calls and no.